You know, when I was first a believer, I only read the New Testament. I heard so many nasty things about the Old Testament. God is just this horrible being, always angry, you know, telling people, killing people, doing these terrible things. I thought I'd just stay in the New Testament with Jesus for a while. I also was intimidated because everybody used to tell me, oh, you know, it's just the law. You heard that phrase all the time. It's the law. It's the law. It's everywhere. It's in the law. The Old Testament's the law. The New Testament is grace and love. And I'm going, I'm staying here. The grace and love part, I wasn't ready to go into the law. But then as I began to, my knowledge of the Bible began to grow, and I began to kind of, well, maybe I should look into the Old Testament. And one of the things that I discovered, which really helped me, was the law is such a small portion of the scripture. Most of it is about people's lives, kind of illustrating their lives and how God is moving in their lives, which is kind of how he moves in mine. Then there's a lot of just people praising God for his help, as was read today, that was out of the Old Testament, just speaking very clearly about how God is involved in our life, and he's protecting us, and he's going to prosper us, and he wants us to grow, to know his love and his mercy, and you see his God's love and mercy even more prevalent than in the New Testament. That was amazing. And the other thing that helped me in getting into the Old Testament was that it is a language of pictures. And it's not, as the New Testament is, a language of ideas. Now, my brain really thinks in ideas. If you ask me anything that is an idea, I'll give you 10. You know, it's easy. It's just boom, 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 boom. You know, if you ask me for 20, I'll give you 20. That my brain just naturally flows that way, so that I really related to the language of the New Testament. But when I started reading stories, and I'm not a great storyteller, so it was a challenge. But I realized that everything that was in the New Testament in ideas was illustrated for me in the Old Testament, and I was going, well, that is valuable, because my life is actually a picture. My life is this evolving story. And that evolving story should mirror most of the Old Testament, except with the freedom of the grace and the mercy of God. So with that in mind, today I want to look at one of the pictures out of the Psalms, Psalms 23. Some of you will recognize this as a very famous, well-quoted passage. But it really is a picture of life. It's a picture of who God is, how he is interacting with us as we go through life, what kind of a relationship he has with his people. And I'm not talking about humankind. I'm talking about the people who are part of his family. And also that it shows the benefits that we have because we're part of his family. And it is a picture of an entire lifetime, all in one chapter. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have everything that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me, and they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Whoa. That is our life as part of the family of God. You know, a long time ago, I took a trip to Yosemite with a friend, and he inspired me to, let's go on a hike. We were in the Central Valley at the time. I said, sure, let's go for a hike. And so we put our shorts on. I think I put on sandals that day. Yeah, that's right. I'm still kind of living in that ignorance. Innocence, I love that. Thank you. Thank you, I've received that, innocence. And we began to go up into the wilderness, actually. It was a 4-mile hike. And at first, there were just a ton of people. That's while it was flat. But as soon as we crossed this river, it started going up. And, you know, the crowd started thinning out. And we had everything that we needed. We took with us, you know, our sunglasses. We took a hat. You know, we were dressed for the weather. We had a lunch with us and some water. We had everything we needed. And if it wasn't for the signs that every now and then showed up, and also just blindly following the people that were all going in the same direction as me, I'm sure we would have gotten lost. It was, you know, it was a wilderness. But because we could see the signs along the way and we were following people who were going to the same place, we got there. But it was tiring because it was all uphill. 4 miles uphill is like yeah, with the sandals. Well, you can imagine what happened to my feet as a result. But we were very tired, and we had to stop 3 times. Once we stopped under the shade of this beautiful redwood tree, then as we went on, there was this little alcove that was on the side of the hill and was grass, and we sat down in the grass, and it was just, you know, you could lay back, and the smell of the grass, it was just really wonderful. And then as we got nearer to the waterfall, we sat on this big rock and we watched the stream going down the hill, and there were pools, and you could see into the pools, and there were these swimming fish. It was just amazing to watch, and we were just blessed. And about, I would say about 200 yards away, we could hear this waterfall, but the terrain changed dramatically. There were these irregular rocks that were not that were very small. The path was very narrow. It was all wet and very slippery. And so, I mean, your next step could be your last. And if it wasn't your last, you would be seriously hurt because of falling from these rocks, this small little path. And, you know, we were praying the entire time, like, Lord, just keep me safe. And he did. When we got to the top, we were pretty tired, and so we sat around at the very, we walked up above to where the water was flowing over, and there were some people there. They were eating, and we were just hanging out, and there were some kids who were watching us. I was kind of marveling, but they were just watching us, like, who are those people, you know, kind of checking us out. And we were just taking it all in, just breathing the beauty. It was wonderful. Well, there came a point where we pulled out our lunches and we started to eat, and I noticed that the kids, they had this really frown on their face. They were looking at us like, and I'm like going, what's wrong with those kids over there? And then we saw them run off to their mother, and they were saying, Mom, we're really hungry, feed us. And the mom had not brought anything for the kids. Yeah, you can imagine what that was like. And we didn't really have food to share with them, and so they had to go without. I felt really bad for them. So after we had rested, we'd had our fill, we decided we'd go down the hill. Of course, we had to be very careful going over the wet rocks, and, you know, walking back down all the way seemed like an eternity at this point. I was super tired. My feet, by the way, with the sandals, were not in good shape. And when we got back to our campground, I was completely exhausted. And the next day, I was sore and all over my body. I could barely move. Every joint was sore and painful. You know, I don't think I'd ever go do that walk again. Even though the forest was beautiful and the river was awesome and the waterfall was just soothing to hear as it crashed onto the rocks below, and just being in the nature of the wild and God's creation, it was spectacular. But now all I can think about is how much more beautiful and better heaven is going to be. If God has created these kinds of scenarios that we can experience here, what will it be like when we enter into the eternal realm of heaven itself? And as much as we're amazed by the universe and its bigness and its vastness and its differentiation from planet to planet and stars to stars and black holes and all the things that we're still discovering, how much more amazing will heaven be? Someday we'll all be there. If you're part of the family of God, you're going to be there. And this world will fade from our memory. The Lord is our shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. We are God's sheep. I don't know if you know anything about sheep, but sheep, I hate to say it, are kind of stupid. Yeah. And we're all God's sheep. Yeah, I'm going to let you contemplate that one for a moment. Yeah, I know. But you have to put it in the context. The Lord is the shepherd, and in comparison to the Lord, we're just sheep. You know, sheep have to be led everywhere. They have to be led to where they're going to eat, and they actually have to keep them moving, the shepherds do, because if they don't, they'll just eat the grass all the way down and destroy the meadow. I know we would never do that. He has to lead them to where they sleep. He has to lead them to places where they can rest and where they can get water. He has to lead them in every phase of their life. And if they wander away from the flock, they are at great risk because they cannot defend themselves, really. They are vulnerable to all the elements of nature and also of other wild animals which would love to prey on them. And that's why the shepherd will actually go out if a sheep has wandered off in its innocence and will grab that sheep and bring it back to the flock. Just like us. Have you ever wandered away from the flock? Have you ever put yourself in danger and you didn't realize it? Until it was almost too late, and then God rescued you? I have. We're just sheep. As smart as anyone is in this room, we're kind of stupid when it comes to the bigness of life itself. The Lord is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. You know, the Lord's also our protector and our corrector. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You know, when I saw that phrase, through the shadow of the valley of death, it is what it's most commonly translated, but this one expands a little bit, the dark valley of death. I always kind of thought that was about someone who was passing from this life into the next, but that's not what this image actually means in the original language. It means it's talking about life itself. See, we're all born into life, but we all have to die. And the valley is our life itself. The valley is life. And as we walk from birth to the end of our life, I will not be afraid, for God is close to me and to you all the time, whether I realize it or not. And his rod and his staff, they protect me and you, and they comfort me and you. And the Lord is a good shepherd. He never leaves the sheep. He never leaves you. He's guiding us, protecting us, comforting us, anticipating our every move. There was a man who came to see me last week. When he first got there, he just kind of began to tell me about his life. Whoa. That's right. I would never hurt anything the Lord had made. Knowingly. So he began to tell me about his life. This is the way he represented himself. Hey, I'm 42 years old. I'm married. I have 5 kids. I am an achiever in life. I'm at the top of my profession. I've been a Christian for 20 years, but I have complete control over my own life. I do whatever I want to do. And I'm very strong physically. I'm an athlete. I can work long, hard hours. I have great endurance. I have been very sexually active, and I'm virile. And he just kind of went on and on about how great he was. And I'm like, oh, great, so why are you here if everything's going so well? And so he started to change at that point. He started to shift, and he got quiet. And he said to me, well, I'm 42, and I'm married, and I have 5 kids, and my knees gave out on me about 2 years ago, and I am in constant pain 24/7, and I can barely function at my work. I'm afraid they're going to find out, and I'm afraid they're going to fire me. And just last week, I went to the hospital, and I found out that my heart is enlarged, and that any moment I can have a heart attack and I can die. And I have been living in constant anxiety and stress 24/7. I am so angry that I am exploding on my family, I'm exploding on my wife and my kids, I'm exploding on my coworkers, I'm exploding on everyone around me. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to trust God, because I have been the person making it happen all my life. And I don't think I can do it anymore, and I don't know how to access God. Can you help me? I don't know what to do. I really admire honesty. It took a lot of strength and courage to commit to come and see me and admit that. So I told him, I said, well, first, I don't want you wandering. I want you to do something. I want you to stay in the present. Keep your mind and your heart in the present. He goes, how do you do that? I go, well, by the way you've been talking, you're obsessing. Your mind is wandering off into the past, and you're replaying the past over and over again, and it's causing you to get more anxious and more hopeless because you're not the person that you were. He goes, yes, you're right. And I said, also, it's your projecting and guessing about your future. You're obsessing about what's going to happen with you to you now that you're in a weakened state. And, you know, the science tells us, they've done studies on this, that 80% of everything we worry about never happens. Think about it. Think about the wasted energy. We're worrying about things that aren't even on the table. And he was just going backwards and forwards 24/7. And of course, he was missing out on the most important part of life, which is right now. You know, that's all we got. Right now. That's it. You may get in your car today and have a car wreck and you'll be gone. Well, what a terrible thing for you to say, Alan. But isn't it true? Do we really have a guarantee about tomorrow? No. Do people die before they get old? Yes. Do they die at only one age? No. All kinds of ages, for all kinds of reasons. It is life. It is the nature of life. It is the valley of death that we're all walking through. And if we're in the family of God, God never leaves us. He's never going to walk away from us. If we wander off, he's gonna come and get you and bring you back to the flock. He's going to be with you from the moment you were born until the moment he says, that's enough for you, it's time to go home. And do I understand that? No, I'm a sheep. Can anybody really explain why anyone goes when they go? No. It's a mystery. It's in God's realm, not ours. All we can do is follow and try to stay in the moment with God, because the moment is really all we have. The past is gone. You can't change it. You don't know what's in the future. It hasn't happened yet. All we have is now. The Lord is our protector and our corrector. The Lord is our eternal host. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Periodically, my wife and I will throw a party at our house. We invite usually a mixed crowd. We like to bring in people that we really know well. We also like to bring in people that we kind of know and we're familiar with, and we'll bring them in. And then we like to bring in people that we don't know, really. We just would like to discover them. And then we mix them all together, and I always pray. I say, well, Lord, they're all going to be here. And so I just give you permission to do whatever you want to do, and inevitably, things just happen. I mean, there is such fruitfulness that happens when you put the people of God together. They're just, at the end of the evening, people have had some serious conversations. They've laughed until they can hardly laugh anymore. Some are at the point of crying, and they leave encouraged. I mean, it's just all over the map. God is just doing stuff when his people get together and they all focus. My gosh, it's just amazing what will happen. And my neighbors have been watching this for years. And they come up to me periodically and they go, I can't believe how wild your parties are. And I go, what do you mean? Well, you know, I just see they're talking really loud, they're laughing, and then they're having these really serious conversations, some people are, and there's just all this stuff going on, and we just are kind of, we're over in the safety of our house watching. And I said, well, when the people of God get together and they start sharing in the faith and they start sharing their lives, fruit starts to happen. It just has a life of its own. And I said, and you should come over and join us sometime. And they haven't decided to do that yet. The Lord is our eternal host. But you know what the best thing I love about this passage is? It tells us that the Lord is our eternal Father. I don't know what kind of father you had, but my father was not eternal. He was distant, closed down, he was kind of harsh. And he was a broken man, but he would never let you know it. You know, he had it together. He expected everybody else to have it together. and would help you if you didn't do it yourself. When I was in seminary, I took a class where they brought in pastors from all over the world. No, not from the world, from the United States. That was really it. From the United States, and each one had a specialty that had been kind of where they were the experts in a particular aspect of a pastoral ministry. These are all very successful, quote unquote, pastors, and they were revered. And so one would come in after another, and they were addressing different issues. Well, one of them was his area of expertise was death and grief. And he told the most amazing stories about people dying and what God did around their death, and their families, whole families that came to the Lord. He just went on and on. But the one that really stuck with me was the one that he told about his father. His father was a bigwig in his day. He had a church of several thousand people. He was revered in his community. It wasn't just a big church. It was a very active church and was respected in the community. He was known for his faith and for his confidence and for being a very warm person that people could relate to, and a dynamic teacher of the word. Toward the end of his life, his body was starting to wear out. He had some serious heart issues, and he ended up in the hospital, and he was never going to leave the hospital, and he was waiting to die. His son would come to visit him, and even though his father was in a weakened state, he was always upbeat. He would tell him, hey, I'm really excited. I'm going home soon, and I'm going to be there forever, and I just can't wait. This is the greatest thing. This is the end of a new beginning. He was just always upbeat that way. Well, one day he came in, and his father, his face was completely white. He was physically shaking. He was almost stuttering in his speech, and he was saying, last night I went into the shadow of the valley of death. It's incredibly dark. It's black. And I was completely alone. And I'm terrified. I don't want to go there again. His son had never seen his father like that. And he was really worried about him. And there was no way to break him from that fear, that trembling fear that it was all-encompassing from the inside out. And so he just sat by his father's bed and he held his hand until his father went to sleep. Then he silently prayed a prayer. And he went home. Well, the next day he came to visit his father, and his father was like, he said his face was like shining. Like they talk about Moses coming down from the mountain. He said he was just like, his face was like a light bulb. And he said, I went back to the valley last night. And it was dark, and I was alone. And then I saw him in the distance. There was this small, bright light. And the light was coming closer. And the closer it came, the more it became this. It was the shape of a man. And the man stood before me, and he said, you're going to go home soon. And I'm going to come. And you and I are going to go there together. I can't tell you how amazing that was. I can't wait to go back. God's going to take me home. Later that night, in the wee hours of the morning, he died. He died alone. And when his son came back in the morning, When the sun came up, his dad's lifeless body laid there. And on his face was the smile. He understood at that point that he was never really alone. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord God, you. Sometimes we know you, we know where you are, sometimes we don't. That's because we're sheep. But Lord, help us, protect us. We want that in Jesus. Thank you. Amen. I don't know what to say other than if you are one of the people that thank you, Lord. Maybe if you'd like to have I can't do it. I'm sorry. Thank you. If you want something, they'll give you something. I'm sorry. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Go ahead. If you want some and you don't have, you know, So, if you can get some pass out, I encourage you to drink the wine, take the evening, thank him. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are here. We thank you that we are your people. We thank you that you are watching over us and protecting us. We thank you that you watch over us, that you are protecting us, and you're guiding us, and you're protecting and giving us wisdom, and you're challenging us when we're off center. And Father, we asked, Lord, we worship you and praise you, and we thank you for your goodness. In the name of Jesus, according to your grace, according to your mercy, according to your love, according to your kindness, for all your watching out in our life, for the mercy that is us, both known and unknown, we just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.